Hallelujah. Praise His name forevermore. And you know, there are people that go through things, you know, and they're tough things and difficult things and trying things. And I just encourage you, as I was worshiping, you know, if you'll get in that place with Him when the pressure's beating down on you and the walls seem to be closing in and it seems like the mountain's growing and growing, and you just get in His presence and start to praise Him and magnify Him, the problem starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And the joy starts to rise and the faith starts to rise. And you know, it might take stirring it up. You might start off in the flesh. You know, that's what Brother Hagin used to say, is you start off in the flesh, you'll end up in the Spirit. Amen. And you, what I mean by starting off the flesh, you just, I don't feel like doing it. There's no anointing to do it. There's no really feeling to do it. There's no really move that way, any way that's kind of call me to worship. You just stir it up, Jesus. Just start, begin to sing that song, Lord, You are good. And it starts to put your mind in check. Starts to put your flesh in check. And then your spirit can start to rule and reign. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's help for you. So that means you do it. Praise God. You don't sit there and you don't sulk in your problems. You don't sit there and meditate and just think and be bombarded in your thought life. If you live in your thought life, the devil will eat your lunch. You don't do that. You just say, I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. But you know what? I trust my pastor. He said to do this, and you'll do it. You'll see the fruit of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to His name forevermore. Well, you can turn to Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. I'm going to share a testimony here real quick after we pray and believe God. We're going to show a video again that we showed 2 weeks ago when we were here. And there's a reason we do that. But Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. I'll pray when pages stop turning and we get to where we need to be. Let's go ahead and let's believe God. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to gather together. Lord, I know we do it, you know, except for last week, most every Sunday we're here. And a lot of Wednesdays we're here. And it's just what we do. But Father, we don't get into the rut of repetitiveness and just mundaneness and just apathy and, you know, just this is what we do. No, Father, we do it on a consistent basis because it's important. And so, Father, we're here this morning because it's important to be here. It's important for us to hear from heaven, to be here, to worship together, to love on one another, to put our focus on You and to hear from heaven. So, Father, we're gathered together around Your Word to be fed. The Word is like spirit food to our spirits. So we thank You, Lord, You're going to feed us this morning. Now, Father, in and of myself, Mike Anderson's not a very impressive human being. I could go on and on about facts to back that up. But Father, we're not here to hear from Mike Anderson. We're here to hear from the living God. So Father, I want my mouth to be like the tongue or the pen of a ready writer. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, the psalmist of old said. That I'll speak words in season. That Father, when I open my mouth, You're going to fill it. And words from heaven will come out. And it will be words of life, and things will be said that will be specific to people's situation and circumstances, and it'll help set a new course for them. So, Father, I thank You this morning. I will speak as the oracles of God. And, Father, it won't be enticing words of man's wisdom, but there'll be a demonstration of the Spirit and power this morning. And, Father, we'll give You the glory. Father, we'll give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready to receive from heaven?
Amen.
Well, I shared a video 2 Sundays ago when we were here concerning when I was in California. Pastor Nancy ministered to me again along the lines of, well, you'll see it here. And I'm showing it again, not only for people that didn't get to see it, but also for people that see it just to keep getting your faith built. And then I have a testimony I want to share along those lines. But, you know, when you watch this, you say, thought could come. One person got offended at this church and wrote me a nasty email. Someone that I'd helped for over 3 years and had been at my house crying and telling me how we had changed their life and they had taken wrong thoughts about the miracle prophecies and said that it was me trying to advance my own cause. Well, I didn't call myself out at the Pastor Nancy meeting with Reverend Joe. I didn't call myself out in Iowa. I didn't call myself out in California and be the only pastor in that building that was ministered to that way. I didn't do that. That wasn't my doing. Amen? I'm not a miracle worker. I don't know how to do miracles. I don't have power to do miracles. But the anointing that God can put on a person can work miracles. And if he wants to do it through this vessel, so be it. He'll get the praise and he'll get the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when we show this, it's not to exalt a man. It's to exalt God and what he wants to do through your pastor in this ministry. And if we can get your expectations raised up for miracle signs and wonders, you'll cry out for them. You'll start believing for them. You'll be hungry for them. So that's why we show it. Because why? Faith comes by hearing, hearing, and hearing. But I'm going to show this testimony here. Pastor Nancy had a ministry line for ministers. And to go ahead and pull that up, and if you dim the lights first, and we'll play that. And then I want to speak on something. Go ahead and start it over with when the volume's working.
There are certain things that the enemy could see.
We'll play it again.
Up ahead, and they frighten him.
Go ahead and start it over. I'm not trying to be bossy. I don't want you to miss this.
There are certain things that the enemy could see up ahead, and they frighten him. And therefore, he struck almost in frantic movement. But it failed. Because now you began to make greater strides into what he feared your arrival into. Miracle man. Miracle man. That's how you'll be known.
Well, praise the Lord for that. Because miracles will only bless people. Amen. Miracles, signs, and wonders will only bless people, and they'll only be, you know, you see it in the Word that they were catalysts for people getting born again. And people getting saved and set free, lives being changed, praise God. And that's what we want. That's what we're hungry for. Humanity needs a touch from heaven, praise God. And so this ministry, no doubt, has had prophecies from people that we look up to, that we trust, that are running the race with God and doing it with excellence, that have picked up in the spirit realm that this place will be a place of miracles, signs, and wonders. And I believe that happened on January 9th, I believe it was, when I was in California. Pastor Scott got me the video right away. And, you know, I was supposed to be in Florida this past week. You know, I had been bragging about that to you guys, you know, just really trying to rub it in a little bit. But in all seriousness, I was supposed to be in Florida last week at Reverend Greer. And late the week before, the week that Reverends Rich and Daphne were here, which was awesome, by the way, the week that they were here, at the end of the week, you know, I started to sense in my spirit. Well, actually, I was in California. I started to sense that I was not supposed to go on that trip, but I didn't have full clarity on it, so I just kept my plans as normal, you know. And then it was late last week, I knew, or the week that the Walkers were here, whenever that was, it would have been the week before, that I was not to go on that trip, that I was to schedule another trip. And, you know, sometimes you just don't know, but it's best just to follow the Holy Ghost. I do know His voice, and, you know, one thing, this is just to help people, one thing that's a sign of maturity in your walk with God is you don't question Him. Sometimes He gives you details, sometimes He doesn't. And sometimes you don't see the reason why ever, and sometimes you don't see Him till later on. But I didn't know why. I knew there were some things I needed to take care of naturally for the Olean building with everything going on. And there were some things afterwards that came to pass that, oh, okay, Lord, I see it. Thank God I'm here. Totally confirmed me being here. But something happened last week. A lady by the name of Linda Banfield, who goes to the Olean Church, she's faithful out there. She actually was one of the people that came from Pastor Wes's church that was one of the other churches that had stopped existing in Olean, and people started coming to our church, you know. And she's a lady that goes there, and she called me on Monday, and I was supposed to be in the Reverend, you know, out there in Florida, you know. And it would have been, she called me during a time on Monday that I would have been unavailable to help her for hours. The way it worked out with flying in and things and rental car and driving there, it just wouldn't have the way the timing was when she got a hold of me. I wouldn't have been able to get a hold of her for hours. But how many of you know life and death things, sometimes you don't have hours. I talked to her on Monday, you know, and I was so thankful I was able to, because, you know, she was beside herself and there was, you know, quite a situation. I was able to help her to get her calmed down and get her into a place of faith. But her 11-year-old granddaughter, she had just found out right before she got a hold of me that was pretty much found unresponsive in her bedroom. And no reason for it, you know, and could hardly really talk or say anything. And so they rushed her to the emergency room where she was immediately put in critical condition in the ICU. Well, her blood sugar levels had gone to over 750. Now, if you don't know, normal is like, for a child, is like 100 to 140, somewhere around that range. So it was up over 750. And the doctor said, we don't think she's going to, like, there's just no hope here. Her brain's swelling, and it's just all of a sudden, just onset. And so she called me, and we talked, and I got her into faith, and I said, do you believe God can? And she said, I do. I said, well, you need to believe more than he just can. Do you believe he wants to do this? Oh, yeah. I said, let's believe God. So we prayed on the phone that day and believe God for a miracle. Praise God. Well, that's what they said is going to happen here. And that was on Monday. They told her the granddaughter's not going to make it. And brain swelling, 750 blood sugar level. Thursday night, she was released to go home with no side effects. And the doctors said this. They said, we can't figure this out. Only thing we can chalk it up to, and they used the word miracle. Praise his name forevermore. Well, Pastor Nancy said, now you'll begin to make greater strides. Well, that greater strides is into what's up ahead for us. We need our expectation to be so high around here. In your personal life and in with people you deal with and things, that we have a God who can change things. And we've seen these testimonies. They're going to start coming in because two times now, Reverend Joel said, I'll be more known for Miracle Mike than I am Pastor Mike. That means there's going to have to be a lot of miracles. Yes. Pastor Nancy said, that's how you'll be known. Yes. Miracle man. Well, glory to God. He's the miracle worker. I'll be the donkey. What's the donkey? God uses donkeys. Amen. You know that? If you've been called the bad word for a donkey, you know that people say, just say, glory to God. I'll take it. Praise God. So I wanted to share that with you because we need to share testimonies about this stuff, because when the doctors are calling, you know, doctors don't like to call things that, because when they can't explain things medically or by science, it's hard for them a lot of times, you know, especially if their mind's turned off to the things of God. And I know a lot of people in the medical field, they are, you know, and a lot aren't, but a lot are. And so for them to use the term miracle, and Linda, of course, gave me the permission to share that testimony, but I just thought it was amazing. From that on Monday to being sent home on Thursday. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you this morning. I'm in awe of you. Father, you know my heart, so I don't need to say this, but for the people's sake, I will. I'm not trying to bring attention to me, Father. I can't do anything. In fact, if I'm being honest, when she called me, my mind went on tilt. But thank you, we don't have to live by our mind and by our feelings. We can get into our spirit. And Father, I'm just humbled to be able to be a part of what you're doing. And Lord, all these people that are under my voice right now, Father, they're a part of what you're doing, and they're believing, and in their praying, and in their supply of faith. And Father, it is a joy to be able to change and help people change their lives. But Father, we want to make sure that we are clear about one thing, is that you get the praise. You get the glory. Father, I'll be the dumb donkey. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I will say whatever you want me to say. Father, I will be like a rag doll. I will be just a lump of clay that you can form and move and do whatever. I'll do that, Father, but you'll get the glory for it. It's only by your power, by your might. So we thank you this morning. And Father, we thank you for utterance on today's message. We thank you for boldness on today's message. We thank you we're changed from glory to glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 8 and verse 22, it says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. The boat was filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him and said, "Master, we perish. We're dying." You know, you've heard this story. This is just Luke's account of it. "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, 'Where is your faith?' And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, 'What manner of man this is? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" And what's interesting about this, and I'm going to get into this in a second here, is these words came up in my spirit so clear. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And I was thinking, well, Lord, anything you say, you know, if you're looking where faith is, if you're looking, it would have to be backed up in the Word of God. And of course, I remember in Mark chapter 4 with the storm, you know, he says to them, "How is it you have no faith?" You know, and just because it says it two different places, it doesn't mean he didn't say both things. It means just one recorded one recorded the other. You know, kind of like if we stood out and saw an accident, you'd have different things in what you wrote down, and I'd have different things in what I wrote down. But in this one, he says, "Where is your faith?" Well, I don't really ever go to the Luke version of this. My go-to is always Mark chapter 4 when he gets to the boat and go to the other side. But he says, "Where is your faith?" Well, I went back and looked at Mark chapter 4. I said, "That's not what you said there." And then my spirit came up, that ain't the only place that was written about this. So I went over to Luke's version and I saw the words, "Where is your faith?" And you know, around my house, you know, "where is" precedes a lot of things, especially dealing with me at times, you know. And I should say, going forward, it'll be different. But up until this point, I'm just going to state what's happened, you know. I don't want to confess this for the rest of my life. But one of the things I stopped doing years ago was carrying a wallet around. It's just too bulky. And, you know, I'm just more simple. It's like simple. I don't need to put all the stuff in it, you know. And so what I do now is just got a hair tie from court and take a couple credit cards, church credit card, you know, personal credit card, my pistol permit, my license, and I just wrap them up in a hair tie, and it's a lot thinner. Only problem is, whenever we go places with we need cash, I'm usually not the guy to look to. And so my friends have started learning now, when we go to restaurants, they don't go to places that take cash, because they know I won't be buying, because I don't have any on me. And this is true, I never hardly have cash on me, because most things you can just pay with a credit card. And of course, you know, when you have a Cabela's card, you want to use that thing because you get points towards free stuff. So the more you could use that thing. Anyways, but a lot of times what's heard in my house is, "Where is my credit cards? Where is my credit cards?" Why? Because up until this point, I misplaced them all the time. And a lot of times, it's found with me frantically going through the house with thoughts in my head thinking, "Gonna have to cancel that card. Who knows who has this card now?" Because I can't, you know, that they're never in a compromising place, but in my mind they are when I can't find them. And usually they're in one of three places: on the microwave, in my chest pocket, the zipper pocket of my coat, or inside my truck in the little center console. But all the time I think I leave them on top of the microwave. That's where I'm supposed to leave them. That's how I'll know they're there all the time. And a lot of times, and so you'll hear me say, "Where is my credit cards? Where is my credit cards? Where is my credit cards?" Well, the reason I'm saying "where is something" is because there's something that's not there that should be able to be tangibly seen. Because if my credit cards are there, I'm not saying "where are my credit cards?" They're right there. Or if we say, or she say, "Oh yeah, no, I saw them. You left them in your truck," or "No, I saw them on your desk." That means they're physically, tangibly there and able to be seen. Praise God. So when Jesus says to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" What he's saying is, something should be here that I can see that's not. Where is it? Well, why is he saying that? Because he's trying to tell us something, that faith can be seen. Faith is tangible to be able to see. Like, if I have my credit cards in my hand, we don't wonder where they are because they're there. And if Jesus is asking, "Where is your faith?" the only reason he's asking that is because their faith must be someplace else. It should be, if they had faith there, which we know they didn't by the story, he wouldn't have asked where it was. He would have known by seeing it. Faith can be seen. And I want to ask you today, as we go forward in today's message, the things in life that you're believing for, Maybe it's a financial thing, a new job, a new vehicle, a new home, a new wardrobe, a promotion. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a physical thing, something the doctors have told you, some symptoms that are going on in your body. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's, I don't know, if you just fill, you can fill in the blanks with whatever it is for you. Let me ask you, is your faith visible for that thing? Because we don't need to here go back and talk about how important faith is. We've had that drilled in us around here. I mean, I could go down through machine gun, you know, down through in 1 John 5:4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Hebrews 6 and verse 12, faith is how we receive the promises. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, faith is how we please God. Ephesians 6 and verse 16, faith is how we quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Right? We know that. We need faith. The just shall live by faith. We know we can't be without faith if we want to be successful or victorious. So we don't need to grind that and drill that into you. That's been drilled into you. But let me ask you, if it's faith that's going to take you into the places that you need to go, the things you're believing for, is it visible? Is Jesus looking at you as you're saying, I believe for my healing? As you're saying, I believe for my financial miracle or thing in my family, whatever it is, could Jesus say, oh yeah, I could see that. That's visible. Because faith can be seen. It's not faith to just say, I have faith for that. Prove that. Okay, go to James chapter 2 and verse 17. James chapter 2 and verse 17. We don't want to have invisible faith. We want to have tangible faith that can be seen. James chapter 2. Where is your faith? That means it's not here and it should be here. It's somewhere. Where is it? James chapter 2 and verse 17 says this, even so faith, what's faith? Faith is our thing we access to get into things. If it has not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18, yeah, a man may say, I have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. And I will show you my faith with my works. What's he saying? Well, the verse before tells us, you can't have faith without works. It's dead. So if someone says, I have faith but no works to back it up, they don't have faith. Why? Faith without works is dead, James 2:17 tells us. And he says, I'll show you my faith. I'll say I have faith, but I'll show it to you by my works. What's show it? Show and tell. Abby loves show and tell. Why? You get to go to school and bring something. I remember the days of show and tell. It was an exciting time. There, as far back as I can remember, the farthest back where I really have vivid memories is kindergarten. I don't know if you can go back farther, but I really remember a lot of things from kindergarten. And I remember show and tell days, and I can remember the feelings of excitement of pulling out a toy or something at Christmas or a birthday present and showing people and get to talk to them. What? You're showing them something tangible. You don't just bring your hands with air and say, look, everyone, how cool this is. This is awesome. Why? Nothing there. That show and tell's dead. He said, your faith, by saying I have faith, but no works to back it up, is actually showing you the faith you think you have is flatlined. We can't have flatlined faith. That's what he said here. Verse 17, even so, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead or flatlined. It's not existing. You can't afford your faith to be flatlined. Hallelujah. Verse 18, yeah, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. Can't do it. Can't do it. Why? Because it's dead. It doesn't exist. And I will show you my faith by my works. What's he saying? My works are going to prove or be show and tell that I have this. Amen? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, hallelujah. Well, I want to show you three areas that the Lord gave me where our faith can be seen and not seen. Where we can put the rubber to the road here today and find out those things we're believing for, can they be seen? Do I have works that back these up? Amen? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number one, an area where faith can be seen or works to show that you really believe is your words. I've said this before, it's the truth. Usually, I can locate a person within 5 minutes, usually a lot less than that, of whether or not they're truly in faith, just over the phone call, without seeing their face, without being around them, being around their attitude, seeing how they're carrying themselves. By their words alone, show me yes faith, no faith by their words. Your words are works or actions that will show tangibly whether or not you are believing in faith or not. Go to Numbers chapter 13, in verse 25. Numbers 13 and verse 25. While you're turning there, did y'all see my Patriots again? Woo, my Patriots! I mean, aren't you just excited again? They're in the Super Bowl. Woo! Don't forget now, next week we'll be making our Super Bowl predictions. And so be thinking about that. For those of you that don't know, the Patriots and the Rams are in the Super Bowl. Just in case, you know, you don't know this. Oh, my Tom Brady. I'm just stirring you up a little bit out there. Right? Numbers 13, verse 25 says this. It says, so we're talking about words here. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now to catch you up to speed, this is when God said there's a promised land available for you. Go check it out. What's yours? The 12 spies came back, two of them being Caleb and Joshua. And they went and came to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and to the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation. And they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither you sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now remember, God already said it's theirs. Well, that's what faith is, isn't it? Believing what's not in the natural. God says you're healed, the doctors say you're not. God says you're healed, the symptoms say you're not. That's faith, right? You don't have to believe for healing when you're healed. You believe for healing when the body says you're not. Financially, the Bible says we're rich and provided for and taken care of, but our checkbook might not say the same thing. Our bills might not say the same thing. Our savings account might not say the same thing. Well, you don't have to be in faith for finances when you already have all the money. Amen? It's when it's not there. It's when there's a negative report. It's when there's opposition. That's when faith is needed. So they came back and they showed them the fruit of the land. Now again, anything that God says to tell you that's yours is always going to go challenged. 2 Corinthians 16, or it's either 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, I mix them up all the time. But anyways, it's chapter 16, verse 9 says, a great door and effectual, a great door of opportunities open unto me, but at that door are many adversaries. What's he saying? When you're trying to get into more and trying to get into increase, trying to break through into some things, that's why Pastor Nancy said in that thing about making greater strides into what you have, she said hell struck almost in frantic movement. Yeah. And oh, I could give you details about some things. But thank God it's been put in me to know that when these things happen, don't fret. Don't fret. There's an enemy trying to keep you from some things. Well, it failed, he said. Why? Because we didn't quit. Amen. You don't quit, praise God. You just keep going. Hallelujah. You just keep on going. So God tells you something. He said, this land is yours. Well, it's not going to go unchallenged. That's right. It's not going to go unchallenged. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell on the land. Now they're starting to talk about the negative. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, the Canaanites dwell by the sea, the coast of the Jordan. Now, you get a doctor's report and you come home, what did the doctor say? You know, the doctor told you to have something, you come home and say, nothing, honey, and everything's perfect. That's not faith. God didn't give you faith to deny the natural. He gave you faith to not believe the natural, to not put your hope in the natural, to not be moved by the natural. Well, you just did the bills for the month and you're a couple thousand dollars short. How'd that go? We're doing great. Everything's perfect. No, this is what it is. You ask me a question, this is what it is, but this is what it's going to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able. How did he know that? Because God said it was theirs. But the men that went up with him said, what is their words doing? Playing show and tell with their faith. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, children of Israel, today is show and tell with your faith. Children of Israel, you speak. We're not able to go up against the people, for they're strong. I said bring faith to show and tell. Your words are not showing me that you're bringing faith. We're not able to do it. We can't do it. And they brought up, verse 32, an evil report. Why was it evil? It wasn't evil because they stated the facts. The facts were there were people. The facts were that there were people in the land and cities and walled fortresses. That was the facts. But the evil came when they believed those things above what God said. See, they had a choice. God said you can have it. The report says you can't. God says you can be healed. Your report might say you can't. God says you can have this. The report in the natural might say that you can't. God says you can have this financially. The report might say that you can't. Well, where the manifestation is going to come is, which one are you going to choose? Which one are you going to choose? Because they chose the wrong one. We can't do it. We can't do it. They brought up an evil report of the land. They searched. The land through which we have gone to search is a land that eats up the inhabitants. Verse 32. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come out as giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Verse 14, and all the congregation lifted their voice. What is their words doing? Locating them. It's locating them. And the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and the congregation and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we just have died in Egypt, or would God that we have died in this wilderness? And wherefore has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by us? I mean, they are just showing and telling that they don't have faith, aren't they? Wouldn't it be better if we were to fall by the sword, that our wives and children would be prey? Would it be better to return to Egypt? And they said, let us make a captain and return to Egypt. Verse 4. So anyways, we know. Their words are showing us they don't have faith. Caleb said in verse 30, we're well able to do this. We can do this regardless of what the natural says. Now, look at verse 24 of chapter 14. Well, verse 23 first. Surely they, who's they? The doubters, shall not see the land. Well, that's what, see, God says a principle in the Old Testament, the New Testament reveals it. Kind of like when David said, I've set my affection, and because I've set my affection, my money goes with it. Well, Jesus revealed that in the New Testament by saying, where your treasure is, your heart is. Well, here he's saying, surely you'll not see the land. Why didn't they see the land? Because they were doubters. What does it say in James chapter 1 and verse 5? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Well, why didn't they receive the land from the Lord? Because they didn't go in faith. Why are you going to be kept out of what you need? Because you won't be in faith. Why you go into what you need? Because you'll be in faith. Praise God. It's true. It says, surely they will not see the land which I swore to the fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Doubt and unbelief is actually a way to provoke God. Wow. That's all they did. They just provoked him with their words. Their words of doubt and unbelief. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. What was the spirit? Believing God. And has followed me fully. Him I'll bring into the land, whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Praise God. Verse 30. Verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, as the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. You say you can't have it. Okay, that's what's going to happen. What's that one? What's that Old Testament revelation that needs to be shined light on in the New Testament? Mark 11:23. You'll have what you say. See, the Old Testament was written in types and shadows and in darkness. The New Testament sheds light on it. You don't interpret the Bible by the Old Testament. You interpret the Bible by the New Testament. We interpret the Old Testament by the light of the New Testament. Well, the light of the New Testament tells us in Mark 11:23, you'll have what you said proved out right here. Jesus said you'll have your treasure and your heart will be connected. Matthew 6:21, New Testament. Well, what? Shed light on 1 Chronicles 29, where David said, because my affection is with God, my stuff's going with God. Same thing. Well, when he said you won't see the land because you're a doubter, that was Old Testament type and shadow. New Testament shed light on it in James chapter 1 and verse 5. Let him ask in faith or you won't receive. Hallelujah. 29, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. What? Spoken wrong. Doubtless you shall not come into land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Caleb and Joshua. Two people out of 2 million. What their words were different. If you were to line up Caleb, and you were to line up Joshua, and you were to line up the 2 million people of the children of Israel, and have them speak on this subject, and we all say, okay, now point to the ones that are in faith. You'd all point to Caleb and Joshua. Why? How would you know they're in faith? Their words show you. Their words are works. So, let's put the onus back on you. What is your word saying about what you're believing for? I'm believing for money. I'm believing for this. I'm believing for that. What is your word saying when nobody's around? What is your word saying when you wake up, when you go to bed? Have you stopped saying anything because it didn't come to pass? I love when Reverend Rich talked about your words on that night. It was so good. And what are your words saying? Jesus said you'll have what you say, not what you think. Not what you hope, not what you need, not what you desire. You'll have what you say. Their words kept them out, and Caleb and Joshua's words kept them in. Why? Their words were signs or evidence that they were in faith. And when you're in faith, God can work with that. So it's time to check up on ourselves, isn't it? What works do you have? Well, your words can be a work. Better start getting the right words. If not, your faith's dead. Number two, are you ready? Go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. You know, I was thinking, as you turn in there, I'll give you a testimony of number one in your words. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. When we started the Olean church, you know, back in, actually it's probably going to be changed to the Allegheny church now because it's not an Olean anymore. That would just be a big fat lie. Anyways, doesn't matter the names, who cares about names, but when we started that church in September of 2013, started in the Hampton Inn, which is now the Holiday Inn Express in Olean, the very first service in that little conference room, I said, God has a building for us. And I wasn't just saying that out of being hopeful. I know when God calls us to start a church, there's going to be a building attached with it. And he showed me some things in my heart in the future. God has a building for us. God has a building for us. Well, is Pastor Mike believing for us to have a building? How can you know he's believing for a building? Because every time I stepped into that pulpit in Olean, I said every service, God has a building for us. God has a building for us. And I wasn't just saying it to make people excited or make people think. You know, I said the other day, I said, now the people in Olean are going to start seeing their pastor's not crazy. Because we've been in a warehouse and we haven't seen the crowds come out. We haven't seen a lot of what I've been saying, but we're going to start seeing it now. I said, you're going to start seeing I'm not crazy. You know, just like when we were in the storefront over there, I said, God has a building for us. And the first service we had in the old sanctuary, I said, God has another building for us. Amen. First service in there. When we should have been celebrating that one, I was already thinking of the other one. Yeah. Amen. It's true. Amen. Well, how do you know I was believing for it? My words proved it. Yeah. My words proved it. Every time we stepped in the pulpit in Olean, God has a building for us. We won't be in this warehouse forever. We won't be in this hotel forever. God has a building for us. Well, God had a building for us. Praise Amen. God. Second thing, that's an action of whether or not your faith is flatlined or has life in it, is praise. Romans 4 and verse 19, talking about Abraham, says, and Abraham was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body, now dead when he's about 100 years old, needed to get the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So he didn't waddle around in unbelief. So that means if he wasn't in unbelief, he was in belief. But how do we know he was in belief? Because the Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What was a sign or proof that Abraham was in faith? Praise. Praise, ladies and gentlemen, is the voice of faith. Amen. You can't tell me you're in praise or in faith and not be a praiser. You can't tell me you're believing God for something and have praise be absent in your life. It can't be possible because the Bible said Abraham wasn't weak in faith, he was strong in faith. Well, again, how do you know when somebody's in faith? Well, there's actions, there's works. One of them's words, the other one's praise. The Bible forever testified about Abraham that he was actually in faith because why? He's walking around as a 100-year-old man without a son. Thank you, Lord, I'm a dad. Thank you, Lord, I'm a dad. I'm giving glory. Thank you, the son's coming. Praise God. Worshiping God. Praising God. Not sulking, not being down, not complaining, not grumbling, not moaning, not groaning, but worshiping God. Amen. That thing you're believing God for, are you in praise about that thing? Are you worshiping Him, thanking, Father, I thank you I can't see it now and it looks impossible. But Father, you are the God of the impossible. And I thank you that what's impossible with man is not impossible with you. Father, you're greater and you're bigger than this thing and you're going to cause it to come to pass. That's faith. That's faith, praise God. Hallelujah. In financial crisis and in physical crisis and times, if you were to peer into my life and to get a secret camera behind the scenes, I'm not saying there haven't been moments where I needed to give myself a talking to, because there have been. But once I give myself a talking to, we get back on track. Times where you have to kind of slap yourself silly and say, knock it off. That's the wrong response. But the majority of the time, you're going to see Pastor Mike in his office when hell is bearing down and hell is at the front door, worshiping God and saying, Father, you're bigger than that giant. Father, you're bigger than that hell. Father, you're bigger than that test. You're bigger than that financial thing. You're bigger than that physical thing. You're bigger than that situation. Father, I worship you. Why? That's what faith people do. James chapter 1 and verse 2 kind of tells us the same way. My brethren, count it all sadness. No. Count it all joy when you fall into various tests and trials. Right? Count it joy. When the tests and trials come, that's not the time to sulk and to be down. That's the time to be joyful. Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's a real thing, people. It's not just something that's supposed to be written on a doily or a blanket or a placemat or a cup holder thingy, whatever there, you know. Posters and little fun little sayings. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How about you try it? How about you try worshiping Him when hell on earth is at you and watch the power fall? That's what faith does. We can tell if you're in faith, if you're a praiser or not. Amen. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. We'll move on to number 3. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. So, are you praising God over that thing that you're believing Him for? Pastor, I'm believing for my money to change. Well, you can say that. That's a good confession. But are you praising Him? Are you speaking that? Like, well, are you just trying to throw that as a blanket statement, but really you're not praising Him? You're not saying things? Faith can be seen. I don't want Jesus to ask, Pastor, where's your faith? Where'd it go? Mark 10 and verse 46, the third one, where they can be seen, your words, praise, but also works, your actions. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. He's asking for money. Now the reason he's asking for money, he doesn't have a regular job, is because he's blind. Can't get a regular job in those days with that condition, so he's on the side of the road. That's how he makes his living. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Apparently someone had told him about the Son. Well, what happens when you hear about the Word? The Word grows into faith, praise God. So he had faith. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the great more deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. They're telling him, shut up, blind man, shut up. And he's getting louder and louder. Why? He knows, Jesus, that's my help. I can't let that pass by. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, come on, rise, he calls you. Now notice what Jesus didn't say. Yeah, tell him to come, but make sure he throws his garment off first. Jesus didn't say, yeah, he can come here, but that coat he's wearing, I don't want that here. No, Jesus said, come on. Well, what's blind Bartimaeus do in verse 50? And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, it's important that you understand that the Bible was written by the Holy Ghost. It came through men, but it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Verse 50 did not just get put in there because the Holy Ghost, when he was editing this thing, missed a spot and thought, well, it can't just be some stupid random observation. Right. Because why? Jesus didn't say anything about his garment. Why is the Bible telling us that he cast away his garment? Well, we'll get to that. It came to Jesus. And Jesus answered, said to him, what do you want me to do to you? The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And I could preach on that. Well, God knows. God just knows what I want. Well, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. It says your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him, but He still wants you to ask Him. Jesus wasn't a moron. He knew the guy was blind. But he still asked him, what do you want me to do? Why? He's got to pinpoint Jesus. I need your faith on this thing. He said, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith made you whole. Well, we know that Jesus wouldn't lie if he said, your faith made you whole. Then blind Bartimaeus was in the category of faith. But again, faith without works is dead. What are we saying? Jesus said, where is your faith? Faith can be seen. What did blind Bartimaeus portray for show and tell faith day that showed Jesus, this guy's got faith? We'll go back to me to verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose. Well, the garment that he had on was a government-issued garment. For people in those days that actually had a condition like that, being blind, because people would, you know, they had fraud back then. What's fraud, you know? And people, nowadays, you know, credit card fraud and things like that, try to take money the wrong ways. Well, they did it back then. They pretend they have a sickness, pretend they have a blindness, you know, and go sit on the road and beg and get free and easy money. Well, he's it's medically documented. This guy's really blind, so he goes to the government. It's confirmed he is, so they give him a government-issued cloak that nobody else has, only people that get it from the government. To wear, so when he's on the side of the road and people are walking by him, they can look and see, that guy's not trying to swindle money out of me. He's really can't work. He really is blind. That's why he has that garment, if you study out the times of Jesus' days and that they gave those things. So, when he gets up and throws off his garment, which Jesus never told him to do, you have to understand that garment was his lifeline. Because he didn't have these working, that garment was his lifeline to receive money, to be able to make a living, to provide for his family, to have food, to have clothing, to have shelter. That garment was everything. And a blind man casting it off, that's dangerous. Because all the people walking by, someone could snag that and use that against him. He could lose that thing. But he knew in that moment, don't need this anymore. This was before he received his sight. When he came to Jesus, he was blind. How do we know? Because Jesus asked him, and the guy said, I need my sight. Telling us that when he walked to Jesus and stood before him, he was blind. That when he cast off his garment, he says, this thing that has been my lifeline and my provision and my supply, my everything to me day to day, I don't need it anymore. I'm about to get my sight. What was he showing us? Faith. What works do you have in your life? And I'll give you some examples of things that in my life might make you laugh a little bit, but I'm just radical when it comes to God. I just choose to believe that He's awesome, big, and real, and He loves me more than anyone on the face of planet Earth. Now, you can believe the same thing for yourself. You're wrong, but you can believe it. I tell you, you could be second, third, and fourth, but I'm already believing I'm number one. Nobody's going to tell me any different. But that's just my expectation and my anticipation of what He'll do, praise God. What works do you have? I'll give you some silly examples, you know. I grew up, well, Reverend Randy, you know, got me born again January 10th, 2002. And he worked in the oil and gas fields, and I worked for him a few times, you know. I got to drive around on four-wheelers. And I have had a desire for a four-wheeler for years and years to have a personal four-wheeler. Well, the Bible says to give me desires of my heart. Whatsoever things you desire, Mark 11:24 says, when you pray, believe you receive. So faith's involved. So I did. I put my faith on a four-wheeler. And I had opportunities at times to get one, you know, and pass it up and stuff. But believed a four-wheeler in. But before I got a four-wheeler, I had a spot in my barn. And I would even mention that I got a certain spot picked out for something. And I knew where it was going to go. And that spot was left that way and left open for me to be able to park my four-wheeler years before I ever had a four-wheeler. What was it? A work. And I'd walk into that barn, I'd say, that spot right there, and I'd do this by myself, and I'd walk at the exit and say, this is where my four-wheeler's going to go. Thank you, Lord, for my four-wheeler. I had a desire for a new truck years ago. You know, I used to just drive beater after beater after beater. Well, let me tell you two things. Number one, if you're driving a beater, God wants you in something better. Number two, if you're driving a beater, God will bring you into something better. He wants you to have the good of the land. He does. He cares about you. You're His child. He wants you riding something good and safe and nice. He just does. He wants you wearing stuff that's nice and good. Amen? He's not sitting on His throne in heaven with streets of gold, with all the crowns and the jewels and stuff, while His children can be down here and He's a deadbeat dad. That's not who He is. He wants you blessed, praise God. You're children of the King. King's children live different. Amen, amen. It's true. And I told you about my truck I had, my Nissan, you know, that had 200,000 miles on it, threw a snowball through it. Literally threw a snowball through it. He said, man, you really were a good baseball player. Well, that was not because of me, it was because of the rust. The rust was, the truck was so thin, you know, I threw a snowball right through the thing. I'm talking one side, not the other. That really happened in that truck. It was pretty old, you know, and I always had a desire for a new one, you know. Again, Reverend Randy, he had the four-wheel, he had the truck. Oh, man, you know. And a lot of time, I had to get past the jealousy and the resentment and be thankful and happy for somebody else, you know. Oh, somebody needed to hear that. That's why I said that. Well, they're always talking about their nice stuff, and why do they always get it? Why don't you start rejoicing? Father, thank you for blessing them. Father, there's enough to go around for me too. That's what faith would do. Well, I had to get over that for a while. Finally, I got over it. So you know what I would do as a work? I would go down to Washington Street in Jamestown. That's where all the car dealerships are. And I'd go down there, and I'd walk around the lot, and I'd go find the nicest truck, the one that if I could pick one truck on this lot, this is the one I want. And I'd go to the one that was ridiculously expensive and look in and see all the features. And you know what I would say? I'd say, Father, I thank you. All this is a hunk of metal on some rubber. That's all it is. That's all it is. They're making them every day. Father, this is small compared to your power and your might. And I'd drive by the lot, and where it would usually make me sad and depressed to even think about it, and I'd point and I'd say, thank you, Father. Out loud, I'd say, thank you, Father. I'm going to have a brand new truck someday. I'm going to have a brand new truck someday. What was it? A work. It was a work. Hallelujah. When I was laying there bedridden in the hospital with my appendix, I said, you know what, I want to give the devil black. I'm going to get out of this bed, turn those bed alarms off with the help of our resident nurse criminal, Grandma Alice. She had some text messages that I sent her when I was heavily induced and drugged up from that she's always threatened to use against me. Now, I've not seen these. I don't know the content of them, so don't go asking. But I hope you deleted them. Brother Chris. Did I send you the... Oh, yeah, yeah. She went to a prophet in Jamestown and about scared the daylights out of her. She hadn't been around all that intense prophetic stuff, you know, and then I was sending her crazy text messages and stuff, but... Our resident nurse criminal, Grandma Alice, helped get me out of that bed with the bed alarms. I wanted to, by work, show the Lord that someone that believes they're healed is not going to lay in bed all day. I'm going to do what I can. There's situations where it just can't happen, but you could still lay there and declare it. But I wanted to just show. I wanted to have a work that showed that I believe. I was talking to a gentleman at Olean last night, and he had gone through a surgery, and he had said, some complications. And he said, the doctors told me that I'll be this way for a year. I said, that's what they told me too. I said, within a couple months, I was symptom free of everything, and you can be the same way. Praise God. And that's what I did. I got there. I just took that IV card around the room. You've heard me say it hundreds of times now. Father, I thank you. What they say is not going to come to pass. Your healing power is bigger than what they say. Father, I won't have symptoms the rest of my life. Father, I won't have this for a year. I'm going to be back on my feet and stronger than ever in no time. Hallelujah. What was it? A work. So what works do you have? Well, I'm believing God for a new wardrobe. Okay, then clear a space out in your closet and say every day, that's where my new wardrobe's going. Well, I'm believing God for a brand new vehicle. Okay, then drive by. Actually, have the gumption enough to go to a car lot and look at what you would like. Amen. I'm believing God for a baby. Okay, start buying baby stuff. Amen. I'm believing God for a spouse. Start calling yourself a wife. Start calling yourself a husband. Amen. Amen. Do it. Faith calleth those things which be not as though they are. Amen. Amen. I'm believing God for a new house. So I dare you to drive around and look at ones you like. Yeah, but the price tag. Oh, see, the price tag's bigger to you than God. I dare you to drive around and say, you know what? That's a desire of my heart, Father. I don't know how I'm going to get into something like that, but I've heard my pastor and I've seen the Word. Amen. I dare you. I dare you to have work. See, I wouldn't drive by the car lots. Because I was, the price tag was so big and scary to me, God wasn't big enough to me yet. But then I got into faith and I drive by that and just full of joy, saying, oh, someday it's going to be mine. Praise God. What works do you have? Pastor Mike had some works, an empty space in his barn. I did. Praise the Lord. God wants us to have things. God wants us to be able to move into some things. God wants us to experience. You see, life will deal cards to you, right? Oh, I got to play with the hand that was dealt me. Yeah, in the world. In the world, you grow up in the wrong part of the world. You grow up in the wrong last name. You grow up in the wrong part of town. You grow up with terrible parents and things. Yeah, the world, you do. You have to play with the hand that's dealt you, but not with faith. The world can deal you hell, and God will turn that into heaven. Praise God. It's just true through faith. So I encourage you to go back over these, examine your own life, start working these works in. Revive your faith. Amen? This is Faith Revival today. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me today, empowering me. You're the greater one. You're on the inside of me. Thank you so much. You said I could do all things through you who strengthened me. And thank you, Lord, for help and for the anointing, for all that you've done. Father, we love you this morning. As I look around the room, I don't see anybody that needs to be saved. I know we're all born again. And I don't know why right now, but let's just wait on him for a minute. Let's just wait on him. Maybe he's speaking to people's hearts. Maybe some revelation. Maybe we're not done yet. I don't know. All I know is the next step, which is to not close. So let's just worship him and just feel free if you pray in the Spirit to worship in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. We worship you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. We glorify that name. We honor that name. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you. We praise the name of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus. Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes. This is what just so clearly was written on my spirit. Faith defeats must be forgotten. Faith defeats must be forgotten in order to get into faith victories. What is a faith defeat? Well, a faith defeat is when you've taken thoughts about certain situations and circumstances that didn't turn out the right way, went south, went sour real fast, and didn't work out the way you wanted, the way you hoped, the way you planned, and the devil now bombards you with You don't have faith enough. You're not strong enough. It doesn't work for you. It'll never work for you. You're the exemption to this. Faith defeats must be forgotten in order to get into faith victories. Now I'll give you a little insight. On my way to church today, in my truck, I was praising the Lord and worshiping Him, and a thought had crossed my mind about a certain thing in my life that I guess you could chalk that up as a faith defeat. And I had already repented to Him that if I did anything wrong, if I didn't approach it the right way, Father, I'm so sorry. I didn't even know that I really had, but I just think in my head I could have done things a little bit differently that would have helped in a certain situation. And I had repented from a long time ago, and I'm away at church just bombarded with the thoughts. And condemnation started. See, condemnation is not a breeding ground for faith. It's the devil's ground. And so I repented again for even taking that thought and said, Father, I thank you. I won't think of that again. And when it tries to come in my mind, I said, Father, I'm not thinking about that. That's not mine to think about. And it just came up in my heart that someone, more than one, need to hear that faith defeats must be forgotten for you to move into faith victories. Amen. All the years that have gone by and the things that have hindered you and said it's not working and it's not going to work for you, if you don't forget that and start fresh this morning, What is starting fresh this morning? The fact this morning, the facts that we know are that God is good and that faith is real. Amen. And faith works. Wow, so you know what God thinks the past is worthy of? He tells us in the Word, forgetting it. That's all He thinks the past is worthy of, forgetting it. So you start right now, fresh. You're God's child. He loves you. Faith is the answer, and your faith can get it done. That's where you start. You don't take any other thought going forward. Amen? Because when you start letting those things creep in, oh yeah, that's right, it didn't happen for 2 years, it didn't happen for 3 years, it never changed, it never got better, it'll wipe you out. Maybe you didn't know what you know now. Right? Who knows? Maybe you were the problem. So what? You're in a different place now. You're here today. And God's giving you an encouraging word to go forward. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you. Brothers, if you want to go ahead and get the communion elements, that would be a blessing. We love you, Jesus. We honor you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness. If you're listening by live stream and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, heaven is just a simple heart's cry away for you. Heaven is not received through works. It's not received through jumping through religious hoops or paying money or being a member of a church or having good church attendance. Heaven is received through the belief in Jesus. And the Bible says in John 3:16, whosoever believes would not perish. And then Romans 10 tells us how to show them we believe. We call on His name. So if you're listening by live stream now or in the future via the archives, all you have to do is you say, I believe in Jesus. Cry out to Him. Say, Lord, I believe in You. Come into my heart. Go ahead and pass out the elements. We'll get ready to take up communion. Grab one of these real quick. Thank you, Steve. Of course, this is a time of reverence and worship. And for our children's church kids that are here, this is a time where we're not talking to parents. It's not a time we're not talking to brothers and sisters or doodling. This is a time where we think about Jesus, where we worship Jesus. And it's to remember what Jesus did for us. And of course, we'll talk about the bread and the juice here in a second. But I just encourage everybody, adults and kids alike, to be in an attitude of worship right now. Thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to Jesus for what He did. Thankfulness to the Holy Ghost that He would come on the earth and dwell on the inside of us and guide us and lead us and help us. Lord, we thank You this morning. We are so blessed. We worship You. We praise You. Father, You're the greatest thing in our lives. You are the best thing on planet Earth. You are the best thing in the whole world. You are it, Father. There is nothing that compares to You. There is nothing that is greater than You are. Father, nothing is too hard for You. Nothing is too difficult for You. Nothing is impossible. And Father, we thank You for what You've done for us through Jesus. Through Jesus, we have a relationship with You. You're not far away. You're not far off. The blood of Jesus, the Word says, has made You nigh or drawn us near to You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You the blood of Jesus has enabled us to be led by the Holy Ghost, to be healed in our bodies, to walk free from poverty and depression and anxiety. We thank You for who we are in Christ by what He did on the cross, by the sacrifice that He made. Lord, we're so grateful, so thankful. If it was just about our sins, that would be enough, but it's so much more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take and eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of Me. For our kids here, the bread represents the blood of Jesus, or the body of Jesus. And so at this time, everybody take their bread and break it, just like His body was broken, and go ahead and eat it. Say, why do we do that? Well, the Bible says we do that to remember Him by what He did. We never should forget what Jesus went through for us. Not only the price that He paid, showing us how much He loves us and is willing to make peace with us and God the same, but what it enables us to walk into. His body was broke, so ours doesn't need to be. After the same manner, He also took the cup after He had supped. This is the cup of the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. Now the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was spilled. And the Bible says that Jesus' blood washed away all of our sins. And now, kids, because our blood, Jesus' blood has washed away our sins, we can now go to heaven because God is in heaven and there's no sin in heaven. So we, as people that sin and do have mistakes sometimes, wouldn't be able to get into heaven with sin because that's a place of no sin. But the blood of Jesus washes away all our sin. Let's go ahead and drink the cup. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, for the body of Jesus. Oh, praise God. We thank you, Lord, for the blood and for the body. Let's just all thank him together. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We glorify you and magnify you. Father, we are so thrilled with you, so thankful for you. Father, thank you for all we received today, all we'll receive going forward. Father, bless each and every one of them as they go forth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Wednesday night service, you are dismissed.